Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
Not only is Christmas coming fast, but also the new year. How many are ready for 2021? I thought there might be more excitement and shouting for 2021, but hey, as we kick off 2021, we're having 21 days of prayer and fasting. Next week, we're going to give you a guide that's going to help you begin to prepare yourself for this time of prayer and fasting. We're going to give you some suggestions of what to pray for, what to be thinking about as you pray and fast. We're also going to give you some tips on fasting, because some of you maybe have never fasted before, and so that guide will also give you some hints, some guidelines on how to conduct a fast. I have received some cards, and just people have been talking to me lately about people that haven't been coming because of COVID. They're just social distancing. Their circumstance warrants that. And they have said how they are watching every Sunday online. They miss us. And I just want you to know, for those who are watching online, we miss you too. And I'm going to give a shout out to those who said we watch you every week. Ismail and Evangeline and all your kids. Corby and Ronica and their family. And then Bob and Susan. I just want to say a big shout out to you guys. Thanks for joining us. And if there's anyone else, all of you online who join us each week, thank you, and we wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas. Have you wished someone a Merry Christmas yet? I hope so. It is a time to be merry, a time to be joyful. I pray for you that just as the angel prayed, as he said, peace on earth and goodwill toward men, I pray that you would experience peace in your life, peace in your world, and that you would experience the goodness of God for the remainder of this year and in the year to come. This morning, we opened our service with Luke chapter 2, a reading from Luke chapter 2. And in this reading, we notice that Jesus was born as a baby. And I just want to throw out a question to you this morning. Why did Jesus come as a child? Why did he come as a baby? Why didn't he come as a king? A strong, mighty king. Why didn't he come as a powerful warrior or as a majestic dignitary or as a great leader? He didn't choose any of those. Instead, he came as a tiny, helpless, defenseless baby. Why did Jesus come as a baby? There's several reasons for that. I want to just share with you some of those reasons today. So if you're taking notes, you can go to the YouVersion app. If you've got the YouVersion Bible app, you can go to the events part, look for Radius Church, and it'll pop up today's service, and you can access our notes through that. But reasons Jesus came as a baby, the first one is so that we would know that Jesus is fully human. So that we would know that Jesus is fully human. If Jesus showed up as a full-grown man, he just appeared, boom, out of midair, magically, people would wonder, well, who is this guy? You know, maybe he's an alien from outer space. I don't know if they thought of aliens, you know, 2,000 years ago. You know, like we think of UFOs and aliens now, but you know, they would probably, if someone just appeared on the scene, no background, no history, no nothing, they would think he's an alien. Or maybe it's kind of like Star Trek, Captain Kirk, you know, beam me up, Scotty. Only in this case, Jesus is beamed down and he just appears and here he is. By being born as a baby, we know that Jesus is fully human. He's not some extraterrestrial being. If you think about it for a moment, and if you're watching online, you can participate in this. You can just type the answers in as I throw the questions out. What is the offspring of a duck? A duck, yeah. What is the offspring of a chimpanzee? A chimpanzee. Giraffes do not give birth to walruses, right? What do giraffes give birth to? Other giraffes. And human beings give birth to human beings. Mary gave birth to a baby boy. We know that Jesus is fully human because he came as a baby. I think that's the first reason that God had his son come as a baby. By coming as a baby, there is no mistaking Jesus for anything but human. In fact, that's why many of the world's religions have a difficult time accepting that Jesus not only is man, but he's also God. Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, they will say that Jesus was a great prophet, he was a great teacher, he was a leader, he was a good man. Some even acknowledge that he did miracles, but they do not acknowledge that Jesus is God. They see him as being only a human. But that's not right. In your notes this morning, Jesus is 100% human, and he's 100% God. He's not part God, part man. He's not 50-50. He's 100% God, 100% human. You can almost say that Jesus is a 200% person. He's the only 200% person who has ever lived. In Matthew chapter 1, it's a passage that's read many times this season, and we see it being taught that Jesus is both God and man. In Matthew 1, verse 20, it says, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." The setting of this is that Joseph was planning on divorcing Mary. Now, in Hebrew culture, when you were engaged, they called it betrothal. You weren't actually married yet, but it was binding like marriage. And to break your engagement, you had to divorce them. Or if in those days, the divorce was for unfaithfulness, so you either did it quietly or you'd get the rocks and you'd stone them because that was the penalty for adultery. So Joseph is trying to figure out, you know, what should I do here? And this angel in a dream says, this baby inside of Mary is not from a human father. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. This baby is God. It goes on to say in verse 21, she will bring forth a son, a human being. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus actually means God saves. And so Jesus' name means God is going to save us. He was going to save us from sin. Verse 22, all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, a human being, and bear a son, a human being. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Emmanuel means God with us. So Jesus was 100% God, and he was 100% man, and he still is 100% God and 100% man. And this fact that Jesus is God needs to be firmly resolved in our minds, because there are many competing forces out there saying Jesus is not God. They deny his deity. But in the Bible, we see many places, and I just want to hit a few of them because I want you to see how definite it is that Jesus is God. For instance, in John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus spoke to the religious leaders and he said, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, when you're just reading that and you think, well, that's kind of a funny thing to say, I am. What Jesus is doing is he is using the personal name of God that God gave to Moses 1,500 years before. When God told Moses, I want you to deliver Israel from slavery. Moses says, well, who should I say? If the people says, well, who is this? What's God's name? And God said, tell them, I am has sent you. And so Jesus tells the Pharisees, he says, I am. And the Pharisees, what is their reaction? Verse 59, they pick up stones to throw at him. They want to kill him for blasphemy because he's claiming to be God. Now, that's only blasphemy if it's not true. It is true. Jesus claimed to be God. It's not just something that people have ascribed to him, but Jesus himself claimed to be God. We also see in John chapter 20, after Jesus died and rose again from the dead, Thomas came to him in verse 28, and he said to him, my Lord and my God. Now, Jesus, it's interesting, he didn't rebuke Thomas. If Jesus wasn't God, he would have said, Thomas, that's wrong. Repent. Never call me God. But he doesn't do that. Instead, Jesus receives that declaration that Thomas called him God. In other words, Jesus acknowledged, I am God. One last reference, and this is just a small sample of the many verses that teach that Jesus is God, is found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, when Paul is writing to Timothy, a young minister, and he's teaching the things about God, about Jesus, and Paul says, God was manifested in the flesh. In the flesh, that's Jesus. Jesus came as a human being. He was the Son of God. He was God in heaven, and he came to earth, and he continued to be God. You say, why is this important for us to realize that Jesus is God? I want to give you a couple of reasons. They're there in your notes. Letter A, as God, Jesus is all-powerful. He can do the impossible, and no one can defeat him. I want you to realize this morning, I realize 2020 has been a rough year. It's been filled with challenges. But we follow Jesus, and Jesus is God, and because he's God, he can do anything. So no matter how bad your situation, for those watching online, no matter how bad your situation, Jesus can do the impossible. Don't give up on him. No one can defeat him. Hold on to him. For those here today, I want you to know that your situation is not hopeless. God is not helpless because he is all powerful. I remember as a kid, there was a song that we used to sing. Maybe some of you know it. If you know it, you can do the actions with me, all right? My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. And that's still true today. God can help you in whatever you're going through. And that's why it's important to know that Jesus is God, because you're never out of luck. You're never at the end of your rope without any hope, without any answers, because Jesus is all-powerful. He is God. The second reason that we need to know Jesus is God is so that we are not led astray by false teaching. I mentioned earlier how there are many out there that deny the deed of Jesus Christ, and I believe we are going to see this only more and more as we get closer to the end times. Because in the end times, the Antichrist is going to come on the scene. He is going to declare that he is the Messiah, that he is God, and people should worship him. He is going to deny Jesus, and that spirit of Antichrist is in the world. And as the Antichrist draws nearer in the tribulation, the spirit of Antichrist is growing. There are people who once were Christians that weren't solid in their faith, and they gave up on God. They began to deny Jesus, so they began to say that they themselves were God. There is a Horatio Spafford, he wrote a hymn. And in this hymn, it talks about when sorrows like sea billows roll. How many are familiar with that hymn? He wrote that. That verse came to him when his children, they drowned in the ocean in a shipwreck. That's when he wrote that. But near the end of his life, he abandoned God. He gave in to false teaching. So it's vitally important for us to know what is right and true, to be in the Word of God, and not fall away from proper and true teaching. So those are the two reasons it's important to know that. Jesus is fully God, but he's also fully human. Let's go on. Let's take a look at the second reason that Jesus came as a baby. The second reason he came as a baby is to understand us. He came to understand us and to understand what we go through. By coming as a baby, Jesus can understand and empathize with the entire scope of humanity. He knows the fears and frustrations of a child because he was a child. He knows the pressures and problems of a teenager because he was a teenager. And he knows the disappointments and the discouragement of adulthood because he was an adult. Jesus can relate with children, with teens, with adults, because Jesus was a child, a teen, and adult. Jesus understands you and what you're going through. He knows your anxiety. He knows your fears, your frustrations, the stress, the problems. He knows what it's like to be in need. He knows what it's like to lose a loved one. Jesus understands everything that we have gone through. None of us here today understands what it's like to be an earthworm or a snail. I mean, just think about that. You don't know what it's like to be an earthworm. For you to understand what it's like to be an earthworm, you would have to go underground and wriggle down in the dark, cold, damp earth for you to understand what it's like to be an earthworm. For us to understand what it's like to be a snail, we would have to give up our 2 feet, have one muscular foot that's lubricated by mucus, and then kind of slither and glide ever so slowly for us to understand what it's like to be a snail. But you see, Jesus, as God, he didn't stay in heaven. He wanted us to realize that I know what it's like. I've gone through the same issues of problems that you have. So Jesus became man so that he could become one of us, so that he could understand. And there's 2 things today that I really want to emphasize that Jesus understands. First of all, letter A, he understands your trials. Jesus understands our trials. Psalm 22 is a messianic psalm. It means it's written about the Messiah. And even though David wrote it, David is writing it from the vantage point of the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah, so it's like Jesus is saying this himself. In fact, you may remember on the cross when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That comes directly out of Psalm 22. Psalm 22 tells us how Jesus felt, and I want to look specifically at one verse, verse 14. He says, I am poured out like water, all my bones are out of joint, my heart is like wax, it is melted within me. Have you ever felt like that? You're poured out like water. All of your strength has been poured out. You're exhausted. You have nothing left to give. You're empty. How many have ever been there? You've ever felt that way? Jesus has felt that way. It goes on to say, out of joint. That means in this verse to be divided, to be spread out, to be broken in two, to be so scattered, so separated, you feel like you're separated from yourself. Have you ever felt scattered and divided and just kind of pulled in pieces? You felt broken? Jesus knows what it's like to feel that way. He says, my heart melted like wax. That word, it means to liquefy. It means that you're not solid. You're not able to stand. It also means to waste away, to faint with fear, to have fatigue and grief. And Jesus says, I have melted. I can't stand up in this situation. Jesus understands us and our trials. Jesus understands us in our problems. He knows your pain. He knows you're hurt, and he says you are not alone. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is all-powerful. Nothing is impossible, so realize that he is with you, and he cares, and he gets it. You know, when you go through a horrible experience, losing a loved one, going through a divorce, struggling with alcoholism, when you encounter someone who is going through that, you can empathize. You're there. Jesus says, it says in Isaiah that Jesus came to bear our griefs and our sorrows. He has experienced the whole gamut of human emotion, so he relates with us, and he wants to carry your sorrow. He wants to bear it. He doesn't want you to have to be under the weight of it, to feel like you're broken, to feel like you're melted, to feel like that you are just at, you're poured out and you can't make it. Jesus says, I'm going to carry it for you. That's the first thing that he understands. Letter B this morning in your notes, the next thing Jesus understands is he understands our temptations. He understands our temptations. All of us are tempted to do wrong. Have you ever been tempted to lie so that you look good? Maybe you forgot something and you want to look good. It's like, well, this happened, that happened. You're lying to look good, or you're lying to cover for someone else. Sometimes we're tempted to hate someone. Sometimes they've hurt us or a loved one so bad, we just want to just hang on to that bitterness, and it just makes us feel better. It doesn't make us feel better. It poisons us. Sometimes we want to take it to the point where we want to take revenge, and we have that temptation to maybe outright, blatantly just attack him. Maybe you want to just wallop them with your fist, or maybe say, I know I can't do that, but I'm just going to do something secretly. I'm going to go do something mean to them. I'm going to slash their tires or do something, you know. You can do it blatantly or secretly, but that is still sin. Everyone is tempted to sin. Sometimes we're tempted to lust. We're tempted to have impure thoughts. Sometimes we're tempted to blow our temper. We're tempted to rationalize our sin away, our wrong things, and say, well, I'm doing this because so-and-so did this to me, or I'm doing this because they've shortchanged me, so I'm justified in stealing from them. There are many different things that are temptations in life, but we're told in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, speaking of Jesus, it says, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but he was tempted in all points as we are. Jesus has been tempted with every kind of temptation that you and I have ever faced. And because of that, he's not an angry God up in heaven saying, you bozo, and he's ready to drop a brick on you. Instead, he empathizes. He understands the frailty of our human flesh and the pressure and the struggle that we go through. And he wants to give us help, not condemnation. And if we do fall, he offers forgiveness instead of judgment. We just need to go to him and ask for forgiveness. Jesus understands us. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, God understands you. He understands everything you're going through right now. He does. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel so much better to know I'm not alone. When I'm going through a tough time, I'm not alone. There's someone who understands, someone who gets me. There may not be another person on the planet who gets it, but Jesus gets you in your situation. That's the second reason Jesus came as a baby. The third reason Jesus came as a baby is to be the perfect sacrifice for sin. Jesus came to be the perfect sacrifice for sin. God created humankind in his own image. At one time, man was perfect, we were pure, we were sinless. Now, I know there are some people today who still think they are. They do nothing wrong, they're always right. How many know somebody like that? If you're watching online, do not type that person's name in. No, don't participate in that, okay? If they're sitting on the couch next to you, can nudge them, but don't type their name in. But no. No one is perfect. When Adam and Eve sinned, that perfection was lost, and now mankind is sinful. We are selfish. That image of God that was created within Adam and Eve, it was shattered. It was destroyed. They lost the ability to connect with God. The relationship they had with him was severed. Before that, they would walk with God and talk with God. But after they sinned, they didn't want anything to do with God. They were guilty. They were ashamed. They lost that relationship. And now we seek our own ways. We seek what we want to do. We've talked about just in the past couple of weeks how we see that selfishness in little kids, how they're naturally selfish. We see it during Christmas time. In a few days, when you take your family photos, okay, you're going to gather around the tree, they're going to take a picture, and they're going to say, how does it look? And what do? You look to see how you look in the picture. If you look good in the picture, That's great. I mean, everybody else can be out of kilter. You know, someone could have blinked their eyes. Someone has hair standing up. Someone's got their fly down. You know, someone was turning sideways and looking over here. But if you look good, I like it. Let's do that one. Now, if you look bad in the picture, we got to do it again, all right? We got to do it again. Why? Because we look out for ourselves, okay? Lord, right now I pray in the name of Jesus, everybody's pictures looks good, so there's no arguments. Amen. Amen. Yeah, some of you know, you've been there, you've done that before. Christmas pictures can be a time of conflict. Oh, Jesus, help us. Something took place after they sinned. God told Adam and Eve, man, this is the consequences for what you've done. He confronted them, you've done wrong, this is the consequences. Then he did something. It's found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, excuse me. It says, for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. God took tunics of skin and clothed them. Where did the tunics of skin come from? Animals or an animal. God had to kill an animal to get the skin off the animal. And then he clothed Adam and Eve with it. God was laying out from the start that the wages of sin is death. When we sin, someone has to die. That's the penalty. That's the consequence of sin. And that's why in the law, God had animal sacrifices, bulls and goats and lambs, that were sacrificed for the sins of people. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. And we're told in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. When you go on and read Hebrews chapter 10, it says that those sacrifices of the animals that were offered once a year, it did not cleanse their sin. It did not remove it. It was a reminder. It just kind of temporarily covered their sin. Because you see, those sacrifices were pointing to hundreds of years down the line when God would send his son to be a man, to die for the sins of man. And God's son was perfect. He was sinless. He was pure. And Jesus died for our sin. He took our place. And because he died for our sin, you and I can be forgiven. This morning, I have a little gift that I'd like to present to you right now in the service. Ushers, you can go ahead and distribute these little gifts. They are a candy cane. There is a legend that goes a candy maker wanted to witness about Christ, about what Jesus had done. And so people wouldn't listen to him, but what he decided to do was to make a candy that he could use to tell the gospel story. So he started out with white hard rock candy. He chose the color white to symbolize the virgin birth, the purity and the sinless life of Jesus. He chose rock candy to symbolize that Jesus was the solid rock. He is the foundation of the church, and that the promises of God are firm and secure. He then chose the colors. The color red symbolized the blood of Jesus. But if you look carefully at the candy cane, you'll notice there's three thin stripes and one thick stripe. The thin stripes represent the cat of nine tails. It represents the whipping that Jesus took, that by his stripes we are healed. And the thick red stripe symbolizes Jesus dying on the cross, shedding his blood for the forgiveness of mankind. Now, it wasn't just the colors of the candy cane that were significant, but it was also the shape. Two things. The candy cane, if you turn it upside down, the way that we think of upside down, he formed it as a letter J to stand for Jesus. Right side up, which is the way that we normally think of it, it symbolizes a shepherd's staff, that Jesus is the good shepherd that we shall not want, that he leads us into green pastures, makes us lie down by still waters, that Jesus restores our soul. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though we walk to the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear any evil because God is Emmanuel. He's with us. And Jesus is our good shepherd who loves us, protects us, cares for us, provides for us, and guides us. But for us to experience this relationship with him, we need to follow the shepherd. We need to surrender control of our life to Christ and let him lead us. And friends, that's why Jesus came to earth 2,000 years ago, was to be God's perfect sacrifice for our sin, so that we could be forgiven, so that he could be our good shepherd, and we could have a relationship with him that leads us into abundant life. So let's just review so far. Why did Jesus come as a baby? Number one, so that we would understand he's fully human. Number two, Jesus came as a baby so that we could realize he understands us completely. Number three, Jesus came as a baby to be our perfect sacrifice. The fourth reason I want to share with you today why Jesus came as a baby is to be God's Messiah. Jesus came to be God's Messiah. Now, the term Messiah is something we're not really familiar with, but it's a Hebrew word, and it means anointed, anointed one. And it strictly refers to the King of Israel. The Messiah was God's chosen one to be king. And the Jews saw the Messiah as being a descendant of David, a king who would come and someday restore Israel to being a prominent power, and he would rule and save the earth. He would rule over the entire earth. The word Christ is the Greek word for Messiah. It means anointed one. When you're saying Jesus Christ, it's like saying Jesus Messiah. Messiah and Christ are equal. And Jesus is the Christ. He is the king that is going to rule over the world. You know, earlier we mentioned that there is an attack on the deity of Jesus. People think that he's not God, and that as we get closer to the end, the Antichrist is going to try to up that more and more. When Jesus came the first time, the Jews were under oppression of the Romans, and they thought that the Messiah was going to come and set them free. And they thought that Jesus was the Messiah who was going to overthrow the Romans. And you think about it, if Jesus can walk on water and calm the wind and waves, what could he do if he's fighting an army? Send out thunderbolts through his fingers and zap the entire army. If you go to war and someone gets injured or even killed, hey, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He raised a little girl from the dead. He can raise the dead. He can heal any injury. This guy can do it. He can make us a world power. But what the Jews didn't realize is that before Jesus could rule the world, he first had to rule the hearts of people, because our hearts are unruly and they're selfish and we've lost the image of God. So Jesus didn't come to set up a physical kingdom on the planet. He came to set up a spiritual kingdom in the hearts of men. That's why he said the kingdom of God is within you. It's inside of you. As you surrender the leadership of your life, Jesus becomes king and he rules and reigns inside of us. Jesus is going to rule the world one day, but that's his second coming when he comes back. It's interesting, as you read the Gospels, and I encourage you, as you read the Gospels, look for this term. It's called Son of Man. Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man over 80 times in the New Testament. One of the most popular ones is Matthew 18:11. The Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. What's interesting is that in the Old Testament, it uses that term, Son of Man, to refer to the Messiah. You see, if Jesus was only God, he couldn't be the Son of Man. He couldn't be the Messiah. But he came as a baby so that he would be man, the Son of Man. We see in Daniel chapter 3, verse 17, and Psalm 80, verse 17, these references to the Messiah being the Son of Man. And Jesus, when he said, I'm the Son of Man, he's saying, I am your Messiah. Someday I'm going to come back. Someday I'm going to deliver you. Someday I'm going to set up my kingdom. You are kings and priests, as Revelation chapter 1 says, and you are going to rule and reign with me. Someday I'm going to come back and I'm going to take you to heaven. Someday I'm going to deliver you from all of your sin. Someday sin's not going to have any power. You're going to be perfect and pure, and that image of God is going to be completely restored. Someday I'm going to wipe away every sorrow and every tear. There's going to be no more sadness, no more sickness, no more suffering, no more disease. I am the Son of Man. I am your Messiah, and I'm coming again. That's why Jesus came as a baby, to be our Messiah, our soon coming King. I know 2020 has been a difficult year, a year filled with pain, a year filled with hardship, and a year filled with loss. Many of you here today or watching online, you've experienced financial loss. You've lost your job, or you've lost income. I know some people, they've lost their home, their house. They've lost their retirement or a significant portion. And it's just been a devastating year financially for them. I know a lot of people have lost their dreams. Those who were high school seniors lost graduation. Many students lost their academic season, their athletic season. They lost their music season. If they were in debate or chorus or band, their extracurricular activities, they were gone. Some have lost it this year in different places in our country. Some people had a wedding planned, and they were going to have all their family and friends, and you know how girls are. They've been planning these things for years. They've got this dream wedding, and now it's gone. Who knows when they can have it? Or maybe it was just a small gathering, but that dream, since they were a little girl, vanished. No longer there. Some people have lost their health. Some people have gotten COVID, and they still haven't completely recovered. And some people have lost loved ones, some from COVID, some not from COVID. In this difficult year, Jesus wants all of us to know, I understand your loss. I understand what it's like to suffer and go through hardship and pain, and I care for you. I'm here for you. Let me be your good shepherd. Let me lead you. Let me guide you. Let me provide. Let me protect. Let me comfort. Just surrender and follow me. Would you pray with me this morning? Father God, I thank you right now that you sent Jesus to earth. He didn't stay in heaven, but he came to earth so he could understand where we're at. And Jesus, you know how this has been difficult, a difficult year on so many levels. I pray this morning that people will open up their hearts to you. They would find you as Emmanuel, the God who is with us. They would find you as their good shepherd, and they would allow you to lead them through whatever difficult paths still remain. Maybe some of you have been struggling with your faith this year. You've been asking God questions, but you don't seem to get any answers. Maybe you feel the way Jesus felt in Psalm 24. You feel like you're poured out like water. You've got no strength. You can't go on. You feel like you're out of joint, that you're separated, you're divided, you're scatterbrained, you're broken, you're a mess. Maybe you feel like your heart is melted. You can't stand. My friends, Jesus died on the cross to bear your griefs, your sorrows, your sin, everything. And because he's on the cross, he is making a way for you to find God's peace, to find God's provision, to find God's help, God's care, God's comfort, God's love in your difficult time. If you're struggling this morning with loss of any kind, maybe you can't even put a finger on it, you're just down, you're discouraged, you can't hear from God, whatever your struggle is, if you want God to help you in the struggle, just saying, Jesus, help me, I just want you to raise your hand. Just put your hand up in the air. Say, God, here I am. Help me in this. I am hurting so bad. Those who are watching online, just slip your hand up right now. Call out to God. He can do the impossible. He can help us right now. Earlier, I shared about the legend of the candy cane and how it symbolized what Jesus did for us on the cross. He shed his blood. He came as a human. He was perfect and pure. He's a solid rock that you can depend on. He's the shepherd who wants to lead you and guide you. And maybe you're here this morning or you're watching online and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know that you've sinned, that you need, that you're separated and you need God's forgiveness. If you want a relationship with God, you want to begin to follow him, I'd like you just to slip your hand up this morning. How many here would say, I need to receive Christ. I need his forgiveness in my life. I need his leadership in my life. If you're at home watching online, just put your hand up. Reach out to God today. I'm going to say this prayer, and there's different portions that apply to different stages, different places people are at this morning. I want all of us to repeat this prayer, including those who are watching online, and just apply the parts of the prayer that relate to your life. Dear Jesus, I'm struggling. I'm weak and tired. I need your help. I need your strength, your peace, your hope, and your joy. I also need forgiveness. I am a sinner. You are sinless. You died in my place. Wash me clean. Forgive me. I accept your leadership. I will follow you. Help me in my trials. Help me overcome all the temptations to sin. Give me victory. You are with me. All things are possible. So empower me, guide me, and love me. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Amen. Amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.